Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Shannon Terry, founder, CEO of 24/7 Sports, one of our favorite guests, joins us live in studio on our 15th anniversary of 104.5 The Zone, the birthday bash. Shannon, back by popular demand. Appreciate you coming in.
I appreciate it. Happy birthday. I saw 14 out of 15 years.
Yeah, 14 out of the 15 years 104.5 The Zone has been a station. I've been with 104.5 The Zone. Paul, you've been.
You're a wee lad. No, I was aghast early on the wake-up zone.
Yeah.
But it's, you know. Those were guest terms.
Paul wants to feel young, so he's not going to say he's been here 14 years.
Yeah, 7 years.
Shannon, I have to start with this because you set all of the Vols message boards ablaze. I love the crystal ball feature at 24/7 Sports, and that always gets the attention of fans out there when notable people start to give a crystal ball for a big-time prospect. You did that recently with Darnell Wright, top offensive tackle in the country for Tennessee. And, I mean, it might as well have been a commitment to Tennessee fans. They thought it was a done deal at that point when you did that. I'm sure you know the power that you have when you put something like that out there, though, right?
There's two parts to that. The first is, and the Vol fans probably don't want to hear this, is that I was rewriting the specs for the next version of the crystal ball. And so I was in it, and I needed to make a prediction. So that's the first piece to test out the code that I would be sending to our designers. With that said, I got some really good intel from both sides. He's obviously, you know, maybe the highest priority for the Tennessee Nation. People really close to him love Pruitt, love the Vols. He likes them. And in the end, I think it's going to be an Alabama-Tennessee battle. And I think the Vols are going to win this one. So that's a long play. That's a long play for me. Right now, I wouldn't say they're necessarily in the driver's seat, but I'm betting at the end of the deal they will be.
You know Jeremy Pruitt from his time at Alabama. It's interesting to me the way they're recruiting, the way they're going about it. They clearly know what type of player they want, and they've been able to get commitments from those guys. I think the question then becomes, is it mandatory they have some level of success this year, if that's six wins or whatever win number you want to put on it, to keep most of these guys? Or do you feel like they're recruiting in a way that these guys know that this roster could struggle this year and probably will struggle, and it really doesn't matter what happens in 2018.
You know, I'm a contrarian by nature. I don't think so. I think what you've got to see from the Tennessee program is you've got to see Jeremy, you know, putting in his system, and you know, it's going to be EQ, mental toughness. It's going to be those types of things that you've got to see. I mean, right now, you know, at practice, I mean, there's a lot of pulled hammies, and you know, there's not the mentality and the mental toughness on that team. It's a soft team, and you know, it's a very tough schedule. He's going to have a hard time. It's about progress. It's about getting his system in place. You know, because quite frankly, I don't know how much success they're going to have on Saturdays. And so, where Jeremy's got to win is he's got to get his system in the right way, and then he's got to do it through recruiting. And if there are two coaches, as I've said over and over, that are going to get it done in recruiting, you know, Kirby Smart, Jeremy Pruitt, they're going to get it done.
Shannon Terry, our guest, you're big into motivational letters. I believe you post things on like Facebook to your kids, right? And you say, hey, I shared this with my kids, I'm going to share it with you. How do you stay motivated with all the success you've had?
You know, I come from a long generation of farmers, and I don't, you know, and what I like to do, you know, you're talking about the journal entries. I like to write. Yes. And so, you know, I read a lot. I listen a lot. You know, I don't know if you guys saw Kobe Bryant's, you know, address to the Alabama. And the one thing he said, to be a great leader, you got to be a really good listener. And I talk a lot, but I really try to listen. And I take notes. And my therapy, you know, I stay wound up, is to write. And so I don't publish much. Every once in a while, every few months, I publish some notes, and a lot of times it's to my children, you know, in those form of journal entries. And so, but back to the motivation thing, you know, that's just the way I'm wired. I'm wired to line up and try to kick your tail. And that's just the way
you
it
bang
is.
Hats.
Yeah, that's why I like.
We appreciate that on the show.
Yeah, I like it. You know?
I think most people though set a bar, and once they reach that bar, they're like, okay, it's time to coast.
You know,
yeah, I admire the people that don't allow themselves to coast once they reach a level of success that they thought that would be the ceiling. You know what I mean?
My bar is always moving. You know, you guys saw, you know, was it Matthew McConaughey's speech? It's on viral. You know, and who's the person he looks up to? You know, it's himself 10 years from now. And so, you know, I'm not that interesting of a person. You know, I'm not fun. I'm not funny. I'm not good looking. You know, and so
totally disagree on the last part.
So what I like to do is I like to compete, you know, and I'm getting older, so I can't really play sports. And so my way to compete is at work. And so, you know, outside of my family and work, I don't really do or have that much stuff. So that's it.
Do you have to, so many people who are super competitive like that, they almost create rivalries or challenges.
Oh,
at times.
I love it. Go ahead and ask
us. Do you feel like you need to create those rivalries and challenges or not?
I'll prove it to them.
Yeah. No, we have a rule in our office, and I walk up all the time. You've got to have a nemesis. You've got to have someone that gets you out of bed that pisses you off.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, my goal is to not try to have too many nemesis at one time.
You wake up in the morning and say, damn that Zuckerberg.
I wish.
I'm taking it to him today.
I'm in the little nemesis level. You know, that's... No, I only like nemesis that I know I can defeat.
It's a good way to go about it.
Have you met him?
No, I haven't met him.
No. I'm kind of surprised that you said no. I would
love to meet Sheryl Sandberg. I'd love to meet. I've read a lot of her book or excerpts from her book, and she seems fascinating.
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people with your business and what you do that you get to meet. Was there ever anyone that sort of jumped out to you maybe for being, I don't know if it's more interesting than you expected, or someone that really surprised you once you listened to them and talked to them that you thought, and I really got a lot out of that conversation?
Yeah, there's so many of them. I'll tell you, of late, someone I was really impressed with was Jason Witten. I got a chance to spend some time with him at DeMarco's birthday party in Vegas, and he was fascinating. And I know that hire came out of left field a little bit, but I think if you know him, and I certainly don't claim to know him exceptionally well, then it made a lot of sense. He's someone that impressed me. I think his knowledge for the game, his ability to articulate it. One of my favorite people in the world is Kurt Herbstreit. And the thing I love about Kurt is that he makes everyone in the room feel good. And you can see that in the way in his method as a professional. He says it over and over. You know, my job is not to talk down to you. You know, my job is to have a conversation with you, you know, during this event. But, you know, I've been fortunate to be around a lot of interesting people, and, you know, everyone, I listen, you know, I ask them all. You know, I was hanging out with Jason Aldean, and I asked him.
Damn jobber.
You know, I ask him, what's the one thing that makes you tick? And if I had to come up with one word from all these people that I always ask that question to, it's that the people that really do it, you know, no one's self-made, but the people that really rise, I think, are competitive in nature. They've got initiative, and they just don't take no.
My understanding is The Athletic is now maybe the third highest subscription thing in America behind, maybe it's just the Times and the Post. I'm not sure. I've heard that. I'm wondering, I think they're on the verge of opening here. I know they're on the verge of opening here. I wonder what you think of their model. Hutton and I are subscribers. I think Withrow is an awful lot of content there. But from what we were talking about before, it sounds like you don't think it's the kind of content that really connects with people on the level you need to connect with people now.
Well, you know, I'm not. Here's the thing about I'd almost rather predict where they'll be 5 years than what they have is they have some incredibly talented journalists that do a really good job, and they have a lot of money, and they're spending that money. You know, they're losing a ton of money, and you know, they're selling free to a large degree without selling free. You know, sign up, we'll give you, you know, 230 years for free,
Every time a new guy comes on board,
yeah, you know, so they do a good job. I mean, they're going to lose a lot of money. Hope that, you know, somewhere down the road, typical, you know, West Coast model. I just don't know that it works in sports media. I predict in 5 years someone will own them, and the income statement will be someone else's problem.
Can you describe, Shannon, the stones it takes to lose money at such a mega level in order to make money for the long term? Like, what business venture have you been involved with that made you the most nervous?
You know, Rivals was easy. You know, we bought Rivals out of bankruptcy, and that thing started tonning cash pretty much in month two, and we never looked back. We only put a couple million in it. 24/7 was a challenge. We launched 24/7 a decade into a media shift. And so Rivals during that, you know, 96 to 2005 era, it was all about local content, voice. You know, it wasn't a distribution play. The duopoly of Google and Facebook weren't that strong. When we launched Facebook, media was kind of, I'm sorry, when we launched 24/7, you know, Facebook and Google were taking off, and we were trying to figure ourselves out. The ad market was changing. And, you know, we had many, many months, you know, I think we're 2 years into it, we're still losing about $250,000, $300,000 a month. And so we went into that, and our model was about a year behind what I had projected. And, you know, I'm a country boy. You know, I didn't like that feeling. And so, you know, my CFO every morning would come in, and he would talk about our cash flow situation. And then I got him to the point where, like, you get one day a month where you can come in and tell us how dire things are. And then, you know, 2 years into it, you know, we had a few really good innovations. And then it was game over. And then that thing was a hockey stick. 24/7 Sports, you know, did incredibly profitable. It's a greater than $50 million a year annual business. You know, reaches 30 million fans. We're doing a lot of cleanup now, employs a lot of great people. I'm so excited about the fact, you know, of the number of people that we employ and the opportunities that it's created. It's one of the best stories and unknown stories, I think, that there is in digital media.
At the risk of these guys making fun of me, so my deal, obviously a teeny weeny thing compared to the Athletic, compared to what you guys do. One man operation. I feel like I found a niche. I'm just curious what you think about somebody having a go at that. So far, it's been good. Where do you see me in 5 years? If you're telling us where the Athletic's going to be in 5 years,
you know, as long as
don't blow any smoke.
As long as you keep your cojones, you're in good shape. You know, the reality is this. You know, we're in a day right now, an age where it's fairly simple but incredibly difficult to achieve. Okay, you've either got to have massive distribution, you know, where when you do something, it reaches millions upon millions of people, so you win through scale. Okay, it's very difficult for, you know, for guys like you to play that game. I mean, we played it at 24/7, and it cost millions upon millions of dollars. We didn't play that game so much at Rivals. And so the way you win is you've got to have a voice. And so, you know, the best way to have a voice, and we saw it with it was it Brett McMurphy or whatever. Yeah. The best way to have a voice is to own a story, you know, to own the beginning of the story, break the news, and then own the post story. The second way to have a voice is to just be incredibly respected by your constituents and speak your mind and be an authority on that subject. And so if you can combine those two, you can break a lot of news and set the story up for people, you know, you're going to win, you're going to reach people, you're going to be relevant, and relevant pays the bills.
You have a very successful Ohio State site. If those guys came to you, maybe they did come to you and ask you, once Brett McMurphy breaks this story, the ball starts rolling downhill, how would you advise them on how to cover it from that Ohio State angle from that point on, once the story
sure.
is out there?
It's a great question. And, you know, it's a challenging question, you know, because and I want to be clear, and I've never hidden by the fact that, you know, 24/7 Sports is a team based market. And so, you know, our job is to have the very best Ohio State online publication that we can have. We write for that audience. And so, but with that said,
for the Ohio State fan,
yeah. You know, I think we have 7 people on staff. You know, and so their job is a little different than our national editor you know, our national staff at 24/7 Sports. You know, but with all that said, we've got to be fair. You know, we got to be honest. We've got to be ethical. And, you know, and we do our best to manage that fine line. Look, I am proud that, you know, I've been doing this since 1996. I think I've had to fire three reporters over the years. And considering that we were one of the first media companies to get out of this traditional, you've got to have 15 editors for every, you know, two writer model, we've had very, very, very few, knock on wood, you know, mishaps and controversies over the years. And so, you know, it's a pragmatic, you know, common sense approach to journalism. We try to be fair. We try to be thorough. And, you know, we use our network to vet and figure out what's right.
Can Nashville handle a Major League Baseball team?
I'd love it. You know, if the mayor keeps saying stupid things in the paper, they're not ever going to even get a chance.
The comment from the mayor was something like, yeah, and we talked about it, it was really dumb.
To be clear, I don't like any politicians.
Yeah.
Okay, except for Bill Lee. But, you know.
We both like and love all politicians. Yeah. They love us, we love them. It's just very reciprocal.
You can't say things like that. No. You've got to think things out.
He said something, and for those who didn't hear read the comments, he said, "I'm not worried at all about a Major League Baseball team. My entire focus is on MLS to Nashville," which is just not something that any elected official should say when you're talking about something that can help your city.
We hope he got caught unprepared. I hope he has a better answer than
you
that.
You can't be unprepared. That's not your job. You're the CEO of one of the fastest growing cities. You've got to think things through, and you've got to be thinking weeks in advance. I'm going to be asked that question, and your executive team already has an answer for you that you've discussed and vetted. And so, you know, I just wish Williamson County would step up, because I honestly think, you know, that's probably...
Where's the spot to put it? Where's the land?
I don't know. The Ag Center area, you know, I don't know. I haven't, you know, I've made a few calls, and to be clear, I'm a huge, huge fan of the MLS. John Ingram is one of my favorite people in this city, and anything is not to slight what they're doing. But baseball would work here.
Small, cozy park. Get especially if it's the Rays coming. We've talked about this. If you're AL East, and you had the Red Sox and the Yankees and Hutton's Orioles, rebuilt Orioles flowing through town.
Everything doesn't have to be built, you know, for the tourist explosion. We can work that into it, but, you know, we'll see. It's probably not going to happen.
It's a ways off if it does, it seems.
Shannon, this is always great. Thanks for stopping by.
Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Shannon Terry, founder, CEO of 24/7 Sports.